because the blood of Christ. Not because of my goodness, but because of the blood of Christ. And I'm glad for that this morning. Good song, good singing today. Sunday school hour and now. And y'all done well in the congregation singing. We appreciate you doing that. All right? Everybody all right? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Man, I'm just glad it's not all there is. But because we have this life now, I'm looking for a better one, but because we have this, we've got things to do. And I want to just continue right on the way we've been preaching. We want you to listen carefully this morning. Again, this message will be for every one of us. Now, how we take it, I have no control over that. I can only give you the message. But what you do with it then is up to you. If you're not saved, I can't make you be saved. Go ahead, Sherry. I cannot make you be saved. I can give you the gospel. And you'll have to trust the Lord for yourself. You're going to have to, somewhere in your life, you're going to have to bow down to God and repent of your sin. And trust the Lord Jesus for your salvation. Many say, well, I don't believe it's like that. Well, that's immaterial. Because that's what the Bible says. What the Bible says. And the Bible's true. And the Bible said, let God be true and all men liars. Okay, so I can't make you be saved. I cannot make you, after you're saved, serve the Lord. I cannot make you do anything. My authority as a pastor, let me tell you where my authority stops. My authority stops with the Word of God. I can do nothing other than give you the Word of God. Can't do anything else. Now, I'm responsible to see the church stays on the Word of God. I'm responsible for that. And by that being said, I make sure what's being taught downstairs and upstairs is the Word of God. But I have no authority over no one. Have not. Everything is voluntary. Everything. You come or not. You can come, stay home, go to the moon. I can't do a thing to make you do anything. But understand this, as the Word of God is taught and preached in this church, then we are more accountable. Every time we hear the Word of God taught and preached or sung or testified, then we are more accountable. And the accountability comes responsibility. And somewhere, we'll give an account. We'll give an account unto the Lord. And today, not only do I need to encourage you to do right, but I need to warn you about doing wrong. Yeah. I need to encourage you about doing right and let you know that you can go in this morning. The message today is going to be about being all in. All right, but can I tell you, for what Christ has done, it ought to move us, for all of us, to be all in. All right, is everybody all right with that? Think about that. Let's pray together and give you a few thoughts. Father, I come, Lord, I understand fully that I'm nothing. Lord, I'm a wretch. Lord, I read about the greatest Christian in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul, and he said he was a wretch. Lord, I'm not nowhere near what the Apostle Paul was, so I don't even know what I would be. It'd have to be a wretch and worse. And Lord, I fail. Sure, I fail. I'm sorry. I do. I want to do better. I try to do better. Lord, give me the strength and the courage. Lord, you've given me everything that I need to live godly. You've promised me that with your word. Everything I need to live godly, you've already provided. Help me to take it and help me to do it. Help me to apply this word to my life and live the way you want me to live. Lord, give me power this morning as you see fit. Wisdom, power of the Holy Spirit to preach. Wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Help me to preach what you have. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name and amen. I want to continue, at least this morning and tonight, I want to continue on the thought about being all in. I want you to come back tonight, and if you can at all, please come back tonight and listen to the other message. We've done looked at several things. We looked at the leper a couple Sundays ago. We looked at the leper who, out of the 10, only one come back. And I challenge you to be the one that would be willing to be thankful, to come back to the Lord, that you would be thankful to the Lord for all that He's done for you. And I told you that I wanted to be that one, and that I still do. I want to be that one. If nobody else does, I want to praise the Lord for where He's brought me from, for what He's done. Listen, He didn't just save me, but He has cared for me all these years, supplied every need. Do I deserve? I don't deserve spit. I don't deserve nothing. And He has given me over and over an abundance of everything. And that's how marvelous He is. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's true to His word. And I want to be the one that returns to thank Him. Then we looked at Elisha, that we're going to have to burn our past. We're going to have to burn some old bridges and go on for the Lord, that we don't go back to what we was, that we don't have a excuse, if you would. We burn the plow, we burn the ox, we burn the reins, we burn the yoke, and we go on for God. Then we looked at Moses, how that he had to go on, had a job to do there last Sunday night, and you're gonna have to throw down what you hold on to. He said, "What's in your hand?" He threw down the rod. And that was what was controlling him. And we remind you again this morning, it's either it controls you, your life controls you, or you let God control you. It's got to be by faith. This life is a life of faith. Now, there's different measures of faith. God gives us measures of faith. Some have seemed like greater faith than others. Some I know, I've listened to them pray, and before they got done, I went ahead and looked to see if the answer was where they was praying. But I had the confidence in their prayers. Sometimes I pray and I wonder if I even should, because of times my faith gets weak. But yet this life is a life of faith, and I must live by faith. Can't live by sight. I can't watch you, and you can't watch me. If I watch you, I may be sad. If I watch you, I may be mad. Right? If I watch you, I may be encouraged. If I watch you, I might be discouraged.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? If I follow your example, you tell me what I would be. If I follow your example, if I'm on the same plane you are, how high spiritually will I be? Have you sought, after we preached the other Sunday, have you sought for spiritual growth? Have you done set a goal now for the coming year? We've already heard that we should. Have you set a goal that you're gonna try to be this place, this high a place spiritually? Have you looked at that about your life? Have you? Because we set goals for everything else. We want so much money in the bank. We want so much when we're this age. We want so much retirement, 401k, IRA, whatever the account may be. You know, we want this, we want that, but such and such. If I have that much when I'm this old, then I'll be all right till I'm that old. I talked to a man the other day. He retired early. And he said, you know, he said, I looked at my life and all my family's life, and he said, nobody usually lived past 70. He said, so I arranged my retirement for 75, and just in case. And he was serious. And he said, I didn't know I was going to live to 89. He said, and I don't have near as much to live on as I had planned on. He was going by, I want this much, at this much, at this much. All right? Well, we don't do that spiritually. Are we still okay? Now, I've been preaching all this that we might determine whether or not we want to be all in or if we are all in. See, some may be all in, and that's great. Some may be still deciding whether they want to be all in. Because to be all in for the Lord is not an easy road. Huh? It's not. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is not easy. If it was, everybody'd be running to do it. But we're not doing it. Because there's persecutions from without. See, you know what is so funny? We all stand up straight and say, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. You ever say that? Yeah. And you don't live without worrying about what people think of you. Everything you do, you wonder how they think of you. It's true. You're worried about people. It don't matter. People say what they want. I'm tough. Yeah, until they say something and then it wears you out. Huh? Is that not true? And that's why we don't step up for the Lord, because we know that there's going to be some things said, there's going to be some things done. It's going to be, and you know why? How I know that? They crucified Christ. Yeah. And the Lord even warned his disciples, said, you're no better than me. Yeah. And when you pick up a cross and follow me. Now listen to me. When you pick up your cross to follow Christ, it's not your bad attitude. That's not your cross. It's not your bad back. It's not your sugar diabetes or bad kidneys or bad. That's not a cross we're talking about. When it says pick up your cross, that means pick up your identity with Christ and march to death. Because when Christ said that, when you followed him, then you was put over on the most wanted list. Not the most desired list, the most wanted list. That they's going to clip your head off. Huh? You say, well, surely it ain't like it. Yeah, that's exactly how it is. The disciples lost their life. They tried to kill old John. They boiled him in a cauldron of oil, history says. Burnt the hide off of him. Huh? Boiled him alive. Didn't kill him. Put him in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and he seen heaven. Because he's in the spirit on the Lord's day. Come Sunday morning, he was in the spirit. He didn't worry about persecution. He had been given the responsibility to take care of Mary. He had a lot of responsibility, so he had to make sure everything was done. Everybody still follow me? But these people were all in. We give you examples Wednesday night even of those that was all in. Of Caleb, who had a different spirit. When Caleb went, him and Joshua went with other spies to view the promised land. They come back with a report that said, no problem, let's go take the promised land as God has given to us. The Bible says that Caleb had a different spirit. Takes a different spirit to be all in. Amen. You got to be willing to be all in. It's not for the nine. We preached to you the other Sunday about the nine who didn't return to the Lord. I don't want to be a nine. I want to be the one. I don't want to be the one that stays in the plow. I want to burn my plow and my yoke and my reins. I want to eat the ox and get on with my business. Everybody understand this morning, we're going to have to decide to be all in. We got work to do. We got people to win to Christ. We've got a multitude of people that we've done given the gospel, but they're not here yet. It's our responsibility. I can't depend on the other churches in town. I can't depend on the other churches in the county. Can't depend on the other churches in the state. But God has given us a work to do to get the gospel out, to promote Christ, that Christ is God, that Christ Jesus is God in the flesh. Can I tell you that to preach the Christmas message that Christ is God in the flesh, you know how many people do not believe that? Do you know how many people in the church don't believe that Christ is God in the flesh? You say, well, surely everybody don't. And Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sin. Well, Jesus said. Now it comes down to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to call your attention here to one verse of scriptures all in verse 7. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you all in? I'm asking you, do not answer out loud, but I'm asking, are you all in? Are you deciding to be all in? How far really is all in? How far is all in? Well, let's look at verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous which is by faith. We're going to look at Noah here just for a moment and see a few things about Noah. Another example of being all in. Are you listening to me this morning? Another example of being all in. Well, let's look at this verse and we'll dissect it just for a little bit here. The first few things. It starts out, it's by faith. By faith, Noah. Our life must be by faith. You don't have any ability. I don't have any ability apart from what the Lord Jesus Christ gives me. Jesus said himself, without me, you can do nothing. That's what the Bible said. You think you're accomplishing everything. You can't do nothing without the Lord. You can't do nothing. You can't walk. You can't talk. You can't breathe. Listen, if you've achieved wealth, you didn't do that. The Lord orchestrated things, whether you're a believer or not, the Lord orchestrated things to bless you and to help you and to give you. And even the Bible says that the goodness of God will lead us to repentance. He's given you great things that'll cause you somewhere to even look at him. Everything, whether you're a believer or not. Yeah. Think about that. And this life is a life of faith that God can. I can't, but God can. Amen. And the Bible says in more than one place, with me, nothing's impossible, the Lord says. Yes. And can I tell you, there's no restraint on me. Nothing's impossible with me when I do it God's way. But you know, we hear that, we read that, but we don't believe that. We don't read. Why? Because we don't practice it. We don't practice it. Are you hearing me? And I'm afraid it's because we're not all in. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm not accusing you of not being all in. I'm saying I'm afraid that there's people not all in. Now, if you're all in, then it don't apply to you, right? If you ain't all in, that applies to you. Now, it's not just for the old. See, we got an attitude that you got to be a certain age to enjoy the Lord. You got to be a senior citizen to enjoy what a day that'll be. Or a land where we'll never grow old. Well, let me tell you, some of y'all baby boomer 40-year-olds, you just wait till you hit 50. I hope I'm around when you hit 50 and you're just running and skipping, and the morning you turn 50, there's going to be an old me come out of you and never did come out before. And it'll happen again at 55, and it'll happen again at 60. They tell me it'll happen again at 65 and 70. And if you get any better than that, then you're on grace all the way. Huh? Everybody's not Rose Ward that wants to go sleigh riding when you're 85 years old.
That's right.
Huh?
Amen.
I love her, but she ain't wrapped real well. Huh? I love her to death. Huh? Now, I have no problem with her carrying in her wood, but when she gets on a sled, well, she's nuttier than a fruitcake. I want you to know. Listen to me. Listen to me this morning. We got to live this life by faith. Because we can't do it. We can't live it. Listen, I have problems living right. Anybody here have problem living right? Hold your hand up here. If you ain't got no trouble, I need to see you now. Well, stop. I want to have a meeting with you. If you don't have no trouble living right, let's have a conference. Because I have issues. I got issues with my mind. I got issues with my flesh.
Yes.
Huh? I do things I ain't got no business. I leave things undone that I should be doing. And I find myself doing less and less right and more wrong. And I ought to know better.
Right.
Huh? I'm thick between the ears, doulas. Huh? I can't do it, is my point. I got to live by faith. I've got to trust Him to breathe. I got to trust Him to give me a pound of a bed. I got to trust Him to read my Bible. I got to trust Him to say a prayer. I got to trust Him to go to work or to do anything. It's all about the Lord. So when we start out in verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah. Well, that pretty well sums it up. By faith, Noah. You got to do it by faith. And then it says, being warned of God. By faith, listen to me, he heard God. By faith, he heard God. He listened to God. By faith, he obeyed God. You're going to have to somewhere quit doing your own thing. The reason you won't do what God wants done is because of pride. You're eat up with pride. That's the only reason. It ain't sin. It ain't because you like it. It's pride. You want to do what you want to do when you want to do it, and ain't nobody going to stop you. But when you buck against God, you've done lost. And God will set you down somewheres. You understand that? Now Noah, he was making some decisions to get all in. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, he believed what God said. He was warned of things not seen. How many times do me or Brother Rick or Dennis or Brother Boyd or the other preachers, R.C. or Jared or Matt or Greg, we get up and we warn you. We warn you of judgment to come. We warn you that Christ is coming. We warn you that there'll be an Antichrist somewhere that'll rise up in years later that'll control you and tear you apart. But the church will be gone and there'll be no hope for you. And to hell you'll end up. And we warn you, but yet you won't believe. But yet Noah was getting all in, and he heard what God said, and he listened to what God said, and he obeyed what God said. He said he moved with fear, being warned of things not seen as yet. I have not seen the moon turn to blood. I have not seen a quarter of the population die here just in one day. I've not saw hell fall from the sky at each hell nugget weighing 125 pounds. I've not seen that. But yet the Bible says that's what will happen. Can you imagine? I've seen hell pretty good size. You know, it'll dent a car. Can you imagine a 125 pound piece of hell falling? In a hailstorm. That's what the Bible teaches. Huh? See, we're warned of things not yet seen. Right today, we're warned of things not saw. We've not saw it. We've not even comprehended it. Noah, God says, I'm going to cause a flood. What is a flood? I'm going to cause it to rain. What's rain? I want you to build a boat. He said, that big? Now, I don't know. People say, well, they didn't have a boat. Well, they had water. I don't know if they had a boat or not. They may have a boat for fishing. I don't know what they had. But they didn't have one that big. That's right. They didn't have one big enough to put 90. What is that big zoo? Is it New York? It's got the big zoo. I think you put 90 of them in the ark. Huh? That's pretty good size. Some of y'all went and seen that ark he got down there in Kentucky. Well, I tell you, that may be the right length and breadth, but it ain't the same. That and down there, you want to go in. What Noah built, nobody wanted in it. Huh? What Noah built was a big black rectangle box. That's what Noah built. He didn't build one for sailing. Everybody wants to build an ark for sailing so they can run the rudder. Huh? But Noah built an ark for floating so God can control where she lit at. Huh? Read your Bible. Didn't have nothing about a bow and a stern and a point on either end and a rudder. Huh? The big block rectangle box built, pitch within and without with pitch. Well, you know what pitch is? That's that black tar you put on your roof. Huh?
Yeah.
Everybody okay?
Yeah.
And he was warned of God of things not seen as yet.
Yeah.
And he moved with fear. Why? He listened to the warning. And he moved with fear. And he got all in. You know how come he got in? Now listen to me. The message is short. He got all in because judgment was coming and he had to take it on himself to get all in because his family needed in. We need some men this morning and some women this morning that'll get all in and get their family in. How many do not raise your hand? Do not raise your hand. But how many has got unsaved loved ones? How many has got unsaved spouses and unsaved children and unsaved grandchildren, unsaved parents? Huh? And we claim that we're all in and we're not doing what's necessary to get them in? I don't allow we're all in. When Noah got all in, he only got all in really for two reasons. He got all in because he had to obey God, and he got all in because his family needed to get in. We are forgetting our first responsibility. Dads, listen to me this morning. Your first responsibility is to get your family in. That's your first responsibility. There's no need of doing anything else if you're not willing to get your family in. If you're not trying to get your family in, there's no need of trying to get anybody else in if you're not trying to get your family in. If you're all in, like Noah, then you're trying to get your family in. Huh? Now, I know that's not very popular. We want all in just to go to heaven ourselves. Well, that's good. Huh? But my responsibility is to hear the Lord. To listen to the Lord. To obey the Lord. And to move with fear because of the things that He's warned me about. Of things not seen as yet. That I might get my family in this morning. Let me ask you. We probably all have lost family. How much time did you spend this week in trying to get your family in? How much time did you spend this week? Not this year, this week. Did you spend any time trying to get your family in? Did you go warn them of the things not seen of yet? Did you prepare an ark for the saving of the house? Are you all in? Are you all in? See, there's got to be some things that we come to terms with. His family needed in. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of the... That's the only reason he prepared the ark. Listen to me. He was not interested in this liberal trash of saving animals. That wasn't his purpose. Huh? The world is more interested in owl eggs and whales and birds. And Shane, some of them timber. Shane tried to cut a patch of timber here a few years ago. And they said, you can't cut it in October and November because the bats live in the bark of the hickory trees. And you can't disturb the forest until them bats get done by doing what they needed to do. So let's let all the family starve and let them bats be okay underneath the bark of a hickory tree.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing ever I did hear. Yeah. Huh?
Amen.
I mean, that's plumb stupid.
Yeah.
The ark wasn't made, and everything about the ark you hear, well, the animals. And their argument is how to get all the animals in. They focus, the enemy gets all the focus on how they got all the animals in. They wasn't made for that. The Lord put the animals in there because he was going to have a new earth, yeah. But he wanted them to have a place for family. That was the purpose. Your purpose ain't for houses and land. Haggai talks about that we live in sealed houses and we don't consider our ways. Yeah. And we're more interested in the houses for ourselves than we are even the house of God. For the saving of our house. I'm talking about being all in. How many are the only saved person in your family? You're the only saved person, or maybe let's do it this way. How many was the first one saved in your family? Hold your hand up. You was the first one saved in your family. Hold it up. You was the first one saved in your family. All right, there's several hands. Can I tell you that God especially got you saved so you could get your family in? Huh? So he got you saved. Huh? Think about it. Think about it. See, when I go back and look at my heritage and my family, I go back to my great-grandmother and grandfather. He was a preacher, Methodist preacher. Died when he was young. Just a young man. Died, had a stroke, then had a heart attack and died. And my grandmother raised a family of 12 of her own, where she had that many, some died at birth. And she was trying to raise them kids. And all of them boys that got saved can trace their salvation back to grandma. But all of them didn't get saved. Some of them died drunk. Some of them died running a beer joint. And old grandma stayed in there tight and made sure they knew the gospel. And I think of Uncle Joe and Big Holly and my pawpaw, all because of Grandma, Aunt Mary, Luli, all the girls that have got saved, all they contributed to Grandma. Well, Grandma walked with God and she was all in. She prayed in God, and people don't believe it, but it's still yet true. She prayed without no food in the house, no food up a holler. Nobody had food up Smokeless Holler. Huh? And she would pray, and God would set her table, and she'd feed them kids. Huh? Are you listening to me? She got all in. She got all in. Called my papa in. He was walking out by the house and he was a drunkard. Worked in the mines, drunk on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Worked Monday through Friday. Drink all Friday night, Saturday and Sunday. Work all week, do all we could. Had Daddy and Uncle Kenny. Huh? I'm sure I'd give Mama a hard way to go. But when he walked by the house on a Sunday afternoon, there was something going on in Grandma's house because she had decided to get all in. And Grandma got all in and they was having cottage prayer meeting in between Sunday morning service and Sunday night service. I just wonder how many's all in enough to have a prayer meeting at their house between Sunday morning and Sunday night service to see if it can't get some of the people saved. We can't even get everybody back to the church on Sunday night, let alone have a prayer meeting in between. But she had enough influence. She said, Bill, come in. She called him Willie. She said, Willie, come in. Sing a song for us. Bobo played and sung music, but he wasn't no churchgoer. She said, you can see it. Come over and stand here beside the chair where your daddy went to be with the Lord at. Stand over there. Huh? He sung. Sing your daddy's favorite song. And Papa strummed on the guitar and sung, the last mile of the day, if I've walked in the pathway of duty, at the close of the day, huh? Some of y'all don't have a clue what song I'm talking about. Said I got through the song just fine. I was getting ready to go out the door, and she said, whoa, wait a minute, let's have a little prayer before you go. And she knelt down there and got him beside the chair where Grandpa died, and she called heaven down. Papa said, I got saved. Oh, got gloriously saved in that old dirt floor, that log cabin up Smokeless Hollow. And because Grandma got all in for the saving of her house, I'm afraid today that there's many of our young people that'll burn in hell because moms and dads won't be all in. Your responsibility is my responsibility. My responsibility to see that Cheryl was saved. My responsibility to see that Marcus got saved. It was my responsibility to see that Philip P. got saved. It's been my responsibility for Hannah and for Landon. It's been my responsibility. Hey, when I got Levi and I held him, we went down, he was born. Here he is, such a beautiful little boy, my first grandson. I held him, and the very first things I said was, Levi, you're a sinner. And Jesus died for you, and I want you to hear it today. And I told him when he was a tiny little baby, because it was my responsibility, I'm all in. I want the family saved. Are you listening to me? We're going to have to get all in. Why? Because we've been warned of the things not seen of yet. That's a coming. Huh? We need Jesus. When I read in John, the Gospel of John, And John the Baptist comes and says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then people start following there. They're following John. And John says, no, you follow Christ. And it says that there was one man by the name of Andrew. And Andrew followed Christ. And the Bible says that when Andrew followed Christ, he went, and the Bible says, and first findeth his brother Simon. The first thing he done was go get his brother. Says, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Huh? Andrew got all in. You don't hear much about Andrew. But every time you see him, he's bringing somebody. He's the one that brought the little boy with the two fish and the five loaves of bread. He's the one that the Greeks come to and says, sirs, we would see Jesus. And Andrew told him, you don't hear much about him, but he's all the time bringing people to Jesus. You know why? Because he got all in. Yes. We need some men this morning and some women that'll get all in. Just plumb in. Yes. Huh? Sometimes we come up to the door. Sometimes we'll ride the sidecar like Andy and Barney. I told you the other Sunday. But we don't know enough to whether we're bolted in or not. We'll sit there as long as it ain't moving. We'll get all in as long as it ain't requiring nothing. I'm just preaching about being all in. That's all I'm doing. See, all in is not a sprint. All in is a marathon. Do you understand that when Noah got all in and built the ark, it was 48,300 days worth? Can I say that again? When he got plumb in, it was 48,300 days worth. 120 a year. Figure it up. 365 times 120 is 48,300. Okay? Don't get your phone out and do it now. If I'm wrong, I ain't wrong much. Okay? The point is, it's not a sprint. The point is, it's a marathon. Now, Jewish tradition will tell you. Now, I'm not a Jew, and I'm not much on tradition, but Jewish tradition will tell you that Noah growed the trees. Well, that would make sense. He set the trees down. Had 120 years for mature, didn't cut the lumber. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. Jewish tradition will say it about Noah. He had plenty of time, 120 years, to grow the trees, cut the lumber, cut the logs, saw the logs, mill the logs. You understand? And he got all that done, don't you? Took him 120 years. Whether he growed the trees or not is immaterial. He had to haul the logs in. All right? He had to notch the logs. He had to put the logs together. Now, whether he done any finished work or not, I don't know. He may if he sawed the lumber, I doubt that he had a sawmill. I mean, he may have. Maybe he had a zebra walking on a treadmill. Huh? But I don't know what he would have used for a belt because maybe he had to skin a lot of animals and made him a belt and a treadmill and had a zebra doing it. And he took, wonder what he filed out the tooth of that saw blade with. Are y'all listening to me? You know he didn't go to the Lowe's and get the lumber. Huh? It never floated, had he done it. Huh? It would have been built like that one in Kentucky. You understand the work that he done being on him? Are y'all listening to me this morning? You understand the work to be done to build that ark? And all that was in his mind was that he was doing it by faith of the things that God had told him, being warned of things yet to come, and that was all the motivation necessary. They didn't have a church service. He didn't have a Bible. I don't even know if he had a song. But he had the Word of God spoken to him. And he built an ark. Can you imagine the labor to build a three-story building? That's what this ark was, three stories. Can you imagine the strength that he had to use? The sweat. Can you imagine after he worked the first day? I bet he hurt all over. I bet his hands hurt from grabbing. And the only thing in his mind was, I got to be all in because of Shem, Japheth, and Ham and their wives. Man, I got to do it for them. Got to do it for old Miss Noah over there. Got to do it. God warned me. It's coming. They're going to perish. You understand this morning that their soul's going to perish. It's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire.
Yeah.
And we need to be all in. Need to be all in. I've told Micah. I said I had Levi when he was born. And I've done all of them. Just soon I hold them. Micah and Laney. And Wesley and Olivia. I talked to Kelly, Marcus's wife, when I was there at the wedding. They was talking about getting married, and we talked to them even before, and they come up here to the house, and we visited, and I told, hey, about your soul. I want to know about your soul. You're going to marry my husband. Are you saved?
Amen.
Huh? Was you not worried about offending? Well, no. Why would I worry about offending somebody? I've been warned of the things not seen of yet. Well, you just got to say it just right. All right, I'll say it just like this. If you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. How else can I say it? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm trying to tell you, I want to be all in. Want to be all in this morning. Huh? Faith. He walked by faith. He done it by faith. Can you understand the ridicule that he got? Can you understand him being out there? I don't know whether the middle of a field or a yard. I don't know where he built it. Maybe he built it down by the lake. I don't know where he built the ark. The Bible don't say. The Bible just says he built it. But they didn't know what rain was, because they never had rain before. Noah didn't say, I don't know about all this. The Bible don't put no doubt. The Bible don't say that Noah complained. The Bible don't say that he questioned. It says that God found grace, or that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he moved with fear of being warned of things not yet seen, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. That's what the Bible said. We like to throw all this other in. Are you crazy? The Bible don't say he said, God, are you crazy? The Bible don't say, well, explain to me what rain is. It didn't matter. He was living by faith. We want to be all in this morning. You're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to believe what God says. Listen, you're going to have to believe what God says. This is what God says. This word is true. You believe in it, don't make it true. This word is truth, and you need to believe the truth. You believe in it, don't make it truth. God said it made it true. You understand that? We still okay? Listen, we're about done. Faith will make you do some foolish things to people. Huh? You go ahead and get all in and start living by faith. Go ahead and get all in. People are going to murmur. I wonder what all the servants thought when Sarah started wearing maternity clothes at 90 years old. Yeah. Wonder if they whispered behind her back. Huh? How many 90-year-old y'all know go get the maternity clothes? She did. We already know all them boys up there on the side of the hill made fun of David when he went down there to fight Goliath, and all he had was a sling and a handful of rocks, pocket full of rocks. Faith sometimes might make you look a little foolish. But Noah didn't care. You know why? Because Noah, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen of yet, moved with fear for the building of an ark, for the saving of his house. Huh? I'm talking about being all in. We still okay? Being all in this morning. Faith is acting like God already done it. Faith like acting like God already done it. We all got excuses. Well, I can't. All in will get my family saved. Responsibility. All in will get my family saved. Compassion. That moves me. Huh? All in will get my family saved. It's a commandment. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Can I tell you, all in will be a condemnation to the world. But that's what you can't handle. You can't handle that condemnation of the world. Because, yeah, but, that's my family. Let me ask you, don't answer this either. You ever talk about your family? You ever talk about your family? You ever say anything negative about your family? Well, sure you do. How come you're not worried about offending them? You talk about them. There's some of us talk about our family like a dog. And we say, well, I can't talk about the Lord. I don't want to offend them. You realize how big a lie that is. Huh? Y'all still with me? Yeah, I hate to force that on my children. So I'll take them to the world, let them go to hell. But I don't want to force them. I don't want to force church on them. Now I'll force the world on them. But that's got to be their decision. I don't want to put no pressure on them when it comes to church. Can I tell you how stupid that is? Can I tell you how stupid that is? I can't say stupid big enough. All in. All in to get my family saved. You willing to get all in if it means getting your family saved? Hey, maybe you need to get all in to get you saved. Then when you get all in, it'd be easy to get your family saved. This ain't a game. We're not rolling the dice to see if you get to move. Huh? But we are looking in an hourglass and the sand's running through. And we're about out of time. Twenty-one years ago, y'all witnessed me in there in that old sanctuary. Marcus and Philip sitting on the front bench. Y'all witnessed me getting in by the shirt collar in front of some of y'all's witness and asking, are y'all saved? Are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? I didn't care whether anybody else was listening. That was not the point. I was preaching a salvation message, and I walked down into the front, and I got a hold of Marcus's shirt, and I said, tell me, boy, are you saved? Yes, Daddy. Are you sure? Yes, Daddy. Are you sure? Yes, Daddy. And I went to Philip, and I got him by the shirt front. I said, Philip P., are you saved? Yes, Daddy. Are you sure? Huh? You say, well, that must have been embarrassing. Who cares?
Amen.
Would you rather them be embarrassed and go to hell?
Right.
Or not be embarrassed and go to hell is to be embarrassed and understand their law. Listen, this ain't a game. We need men and women this morning that'll sell out. Not buy in. We need men and women that'll say, I'm all in. Not just for a little bit, but for the long haul. Some of you young men got these babies, got these kids, you're running around here holding their hands. And this morning, Zach and, what's his name? Jensen. They was walking up through there, and I needed to talk to Zach. So we got in the door, and I said, Zach, move over. Let me see if he notices. And I took his hand, and we took a few steps. And just after we took just a couple steps, Jensen moved back. He knowed it wasn't the hand of his daddy. Immediately. He didn't take two steps. Whoa, wrong hand. We need to be raising our children to have their hand in the hand of God, that they'll immediately know that it's not God's hand when something changes.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? Cheryl, you go to piano. Just as I am without one plea, Brother Clark, I'm going to ask you this morning, are you all in? Are you saved? Well, look at me this morning. Are you saved? I mean plumb saved. Are you saved this morning?
Amen. Amen.
Not saved by what you think, but saved by what the Bible says.
Amen.
Are you saved? Have you been born again? That Christ has come into your life and changed you. Are you saved this morning? Huh? I'm asking you. Are you saved? Truly saved. Not saved because you prayed a prayer. Not saved because somebody told you, but you're saved because you know that Christ lives in your soul. Are you saved this morning? Are you truly saved? If you're not truly saved, you need in this morning. You need all in. You need to come to Christ. Repent of your sins. God, I'm sorry for my sins. And you bow down to God, for God is highly highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in earth, of things under the earth, that God, that he's God, that for the glory of God. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you saved? If you're not saved this morning, you need all in. You need to get saved. If you are saved, you need all in for the preparing of an ark to get your family saved, because you've been warned of the thing not seen of yet. Wouldn't it be a shame? Me preach all these years, never try to get Marcus and Philip saved. Wouldn't it be a shame for me to spend time with them grandbabies, seven precious grandbabies, and all my interest in being and succeeding in the world? I'm not interested in them succeeding in the world. I want to make sure we're in another world to come. God will take care of the rest of it. I've asked Mooney. I've asked BB. I've asked Cindy. Are you saved? You asked them. You asked them. I've asked them, are you saved? That's my siblings. I don't care how many times B.B. Mooney and Cindy walked aisles of Cotton Hill Baptist Church. That's immaterial to me. But I've asked every one of them. Have I not, Moonbeam? I've asked you, are you saved? Are you saved? Krista Maria, I've asked you 100 times, are you saved? Katie Mae, I've asked you 100 times, are you saved? My family, with the Cindy and John and Eric, little B and Blade, huh? Lindsay, when I stood in there in a church, married Philip and Lindsay, I preached unto them the gospel before I ever married them, because my concern was that they were saved. Well, you understand this morning, I'm talking about being all in. How about being all in? I know it's Christmas, and I know I'm supposed to be preaching on dreams and sugar plums and candy cane. I know all that, but I can't. Oh, we got to be all in. Because we've been warned of the thing not seen of yet. Huh? All in. All in. All in. It's going to condemn the world. Yeah, it will. They're not going to like it. I sent a letter out this week to the mayor. I told the mayor I was concerned about the sinfulness of our city, and I was preaching against it, and I'm standing against it. I'm preaching against the speakeasy, and I'm preaching against the brewery, and I'm preaching against the liquor on Main Street. I'm standing against the tractor bar, the mayor's place. The tractor bar don't need no Christian in it. It needs to burn down, that's what it needs to do. Amen, preacher. Care whether they got a float or not on St. Patrick's Day. Could care less. Worried about souls. Worried about your soul. Your children's soul. Them blessed children downstairs, I want you to get off that bus this morning. We got to keep getting them. Try to keep getting them saved. If we don't get them saved by the time they're 20, they'll never darken a church door. Are you in or not? Are you all in? Are you all in? Worked on an ark. Can you comprehend that, Steve? You're a mathematician, and Rick, can you? 48,300 days every day. Every day. Because his children had to have a place for safety. That's it. And God said, now speak to animals and put them in there. Unclean and clean. So many of each. Okay, but that wasn't why he built it. He built it for his children. Father, speak into our heart, oh God.